In my final year at Loyola University, I lived a double life. The conventional world of the scholarly campus occupied my days. In the evenings, I entered a vast, mysterious realm in which ancient echoes of mythological figures and explorers of consciousness filled my mind. Sitting before my teacher late at night, I imagined myself to be the sorcerer's apprentice, listening to the wizard, imagining what powers I could bring forth. I felt more excited than I had when I attended the Saturday movie serials of my childhood. Whenever we weren't attending classes, I learned about the subtleties of life through Swamiji's stories. His formal lectures, along with the midnight gatherings, widened my appreciation for the true nature of human consciousness. From my studies in Greek, medieval, and modern philosophy, I had realized that the academic approach, however valuable, pleased the rational mind, but left out the dynamic interplay between mind and body, as well as those dimensions beyond reason's borders. My campus colleagues, for all their brilliance, thought about the mind strictly as an object of rational study, fascinated with its unending concepts and theories. Their lifestyles followed suit. This approach was akin to a medical student boasting about knowledge of the human body after studying Grey's Anatomy and dissecting a cadaver. One visitor to our ashram, Pir Valiat Khan, influenced my thinking greatly by showing how modern physics was getting closer to some of the ancient teachings about the universe. I'd enjoyed his presence immensely, especially on one occasion when Teresa and I were asked to accompany him to the airport, and we all spent 4 hours waiting for a delayed plane. The great Sufi had enraptured us with stories of his father, the sage Hazrat Inayat Khan, and of his fascinating hobby of raising eagles. Over the years, I've been given a rare privilege in observing how Swamiji interacted with many of the great world teachers. I stood near him when he spoke with and embraced Pir Valiat Khan, Swami Satchidananda, Yogi Bhajan, Ashley Montague, Watru Ohashi, Irina Tweedy, Robbie Gelberman, Vasant Lad, Rabbi Zalman Schachter, Vijayandra Pratap, Hiroshi Motoyama, Roy Eugene Davis, Virginia Satir, Jagdish Dave, Munishri Chitubanu, Buckminster Fuller, Dainin Katagiri Roshi, Geshe Wangal, Andre von Lisbeth, Goswami Kriyananda, and others. Always his eyes filled with joy, his heart emitted great love, and the excitement of the exchange of energy was palpable. Hearts and minds met on two planes. Afterwards, I would ask Swamiji about the meeting. Usually, he would say with a broad, warm smile, "Yes, such a great soul." One evening, Swamiji launched a marvelous lecture on the nature of the mind. "The mind is a battlefield of conflicts and diverse forces," he began. "It likes to externalize itself, run to the sense world. The mind can't help but take in a barrage of various impressions, all of which demand equal time for attention. As a result, average people are under mental and emotional stresses that hurt their health. They brood over these mental skirmishes, giving these thoughts more strength. Then they condemn themselves. The fact that uncomfortable thoughts roam through the mind is not justification for punishing self. Religions have condemned people too much in this regard." He was saying things that I could certainly resonate with from my personal life experiences. "If the mind can't help but entertain uncomfortable thoughts," I ruminated, "how can a person ever know freedom?" Swamiji was saying, "Your mind is both a path and a block to your destiny. People train their bodies for sports, but where do they learn to train their minds? If you don't train your mind, how can you expect to have much control over its many whims and fancies? You are good, but it's your untrained mind that gets you into trouble.